Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I see light mango.
Dave Wunstedt.
5 o'clock. Make sure someone write that down for Alex so he has it, okay?
Tanner, you write that down for Alex.
Write that down for Alex so he knows.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wunstedt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wunstedt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but.
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
But the real serious work done is with Alex when he poured me this Bradshaw bourbon, okay? That's the only work, that's the only serious work that I'm focused on if you really want to know the truth. But anyway, let's get on with the show here. Come on.
Who, Alex? Let me ask you.
Two jobs.
Layla was here. Sorry, Spike. Did Layla, I said two fingers. Were they Layla's two fingers? This is two fingers, okay?
I think what God Coach is saying is that he would like more in his drink.
No. I'm good right now, but next time.
Okay. Two of my fingers.
Thank you.
Okay, my fat fingers. Got it.
Not Layla's, okay?
Not the smallest person's here's fingers. Yes.
He took the college class.
Go ahead,
class in dry erase board holding. He didn't take the bartending class.
Spinks, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Spinks.
Oh, you're good, Coach. This is gold.
Form is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane. Before I go insane, it's only 12:30, but I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Tanny, we gotta have another little taste because Spigs is here. Huh? It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
And that 5 o'clock is Reykjavik. Iceland.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's where it's 5 o'clock right now. We had to find out, Coach.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I got another show to do after this. Otherwise, I would indulge, but we'll save it. We'll save it. I'll tell you what. I got a Alex, these headsets, were these Dan Jiggets or Borgie? I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Are they falling apart?
I got to talk to Mitch. Where's Mitch?
Coach, you want my baby blue ones here?
He's in Vegas.
Where's Mitch?
Yeah, those are falling apart. No. They're tattered over there.
Jeez.
Coach,
man,
you deserve better than that.
Terry Board. I mean, honestly, God, Dan Jiggett, somebody's.
They're a little old.
So, in other words, we got to get Coach a new pair of Sony monitors.
I love that you just referenced Dan Jiggett's a dear and wonderful man.
One of the best.
He was on the air when you were coaching, wasn't he?
Dan and Terry, yes. Dan McNeil, they were the guys, absolutely.
Your coordinators came on. Matt Kavanaugh came on.
Matt's the best.
And Greg Blasch. Wasn't that your guy?
No. Bobby Slowey.
Bobby Slowey, okay. Yeah. But Kavanaugh used to come on.
Yeah, Matt's. I just talked to Matt about a month ago. He's retired, and he did some consulting for a couple more NFL teams. You know, Matt, our listeners who don't know who he is, we played together at Pitt. He was the MVP when we won the national championship with Tony Dorsett in the backfield.
Played in the NFL for a while with Buffalo?
He is Youngstown, Ohio, and he was Joe Montana's back. He was a second-round pick, and he was Joe Montana's backup.
Wow.
Wait, for the 49ers, collected 2, 3, 4 Super Bowl rings. Then he left there, and Bill Parcells fell in love with them. He went to the Giants, backed up Phil Sims, got another Super Bowl or two ring. And then he went to Baltimore, and he was the offensive coordinator for Brian Billick when they won the Super Bowl.
With Trent Dilfer.
With Trent Dilfer, yeah. And so Matt
did pretty well.
Matt did good. Matt's a heck of a guy and a great coach. And, you know, he was asking me the other day. I talked to him. He said, I'm coming in. When we going to Tofano's? You know, got to go to Joey's. That's absolutely. Anyway.
Dave Wannstedt runs this town.
What are we talking about here today?
Well,
Cubs, how about the Cubs, man? Sure. I love it. I mean, now I'm on the, they got me on the edge of my seat, sitting there nervous. Oh, God.
You're a baseball guy.
I'm a baseball fan, absolutely.
Yeah.
I went to the, when the Cubs, it was game five, they were playing Cleveland here when they won the World Series. I was still working for Fox in L.A. at the time. So I went up to the, Jan and I, my wife, we went up to the Fox compound. And it's, this is, I guess I can say this on the air. So it's Frank Thomas, A-Rod, and Pete Rose are doing the pre-post game, whatever they do in
that
baseball.
That was a good TV show for a while.
Okay, and so they do their deal, and we go in, and we go into the trailer, and we're going to eat, you know, and we're sitting there. And you talk about an education. These guys, Alex Rodriguez and Pete Rose, were calling the pitches before they left the pitcher's hand. I mean, you know, just by the way he was coming, I don't even know what they were talking about. It was a whole different level of baseball than I've ever been exposed to. It was fantastic. And so we went out there, and afterwards they leave, and, you know, Alex had his 6-7 notes on both teams, and so did Frank. And Pete had one card. And they tell him, I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody tell me the rumor, God bless Pete. And we had some great stories because I was a big fan of his back in those years. Supposed to be the card said like Notre Dame plus 6 or something. You know? and that was it. And that was it. I mean, so he, but God, he would.
So A-Rod had his notes, Frank had his notes on the ball games, and Pete had gambling odds on college football.
Well, I don't know if that's fact. I didn't see it, but that's what the guys were kidding. They were kind of saying, come on, Pete, where's your notes?
You know,
I got one card. He said, I got it right here. But he would come in early, and we'd sit around the green room. Okay, when they were doing the World Series games, we'd be doing the football games. There was carryover there for a month. And, boy, we would talk. And there was a pop-up. Houston, I'm getting off on a tangent. From Houston, who went to the World Series that year, there was a miscommunication in the outfield. This was a playoff game, not the World Series. And the ball, you know, fell between two guys. And so I turn. I says, Pete, okay, give it to me. How do you handle that? He says, Coach, are you kidding me? He said, it was simple. Ball popped up, everybody yelled, Pete, you got it. He says, there was no communication. I took the ball. Yeah, never took a day off. 14 years. He says, never. No one will break my record because guys don't care about singles. This is what he told me. Mm-hmm. He says, and guys don't play a full season anymore. He says, he said, even on his day off, he would go down to the stadium and get a lift. Or, you know, a steam or a massage or something like that. He says, I was in that stadium. When baseball started, I was there until baseball ended. Every day.
I always enjoyed Spiegs when we would have crossover at NBC Sports Chicago. Like, it would happen where it would be Chuck and Ozzy doing a like the end of season White Sox game, and then all of us doing
awesome.
The
that
Bear
was awesome.
Stuff,
that was
and
great.
Then and then on the back side of it, you would occasionally get Kendall and Will popping up in the green room too. So you get baseball, football, and basketball.
That's
and like
the best.
Ozzy was the best, man. He'd have been a great football coach. He was old school, tough. Tough, didn't care. You know, I mean, it's.
Remember, on Turner a couple years ago, they used some of the baseball
hockey,
guys. No, they used the baseball
the
guys for basketball. They went over next door and
Curtis
was, and Pedro and Jimmy Rollins. They used them to help run like a 3-on-3 basketball play.
Hey, you guys just remind me something. Tony Wise is coming in, I think, the second week of October. I'm going to bring him by because he just had his dinner and get together with Scotty Bowman and all of his hockey guys.
Oh, he does love his hockey.
So we'll get Tony. In here.
There you go.
Tell my shit alone.
We will.
There's the crossover we're looking for, Coach.
It's been a pretty fun week for Bears fans. Caleb Williams was named NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Yes.
How did you think he played?
Oh, I thought he took a step forward, you know, from the standpoint. It's one thing. Think about the week before that. DJ Moore was open down the field for about a 40-yard gain, maybe a touchdown, and Caleb throws it about 15 feet, remember, over his head, out of bounds, whatever happened. This time, I mean, every time that somebody was open downfield for a big play, he put the ball where it was supposed to be. And the play that I liked the most was the touchdown to DJ Moore at the end there, because he dropped back. He never, and there was pressure, but he did not get his eyes on the rush. He did not abandon the play and try to get out of there and run and hope to find somebody. He stayed in there until eventually came open. So the great throws and all that stuff when guys were open, but God, they were open by a big bunch. But anyway, that throw to DJ, that said to me that, boy, that is a step forward in the right direction.
What does it do for a coach when you can teach a guy when things go well like this? Like, it's been kind of a direct development. Yeah. You don't get this very often, but like, it feels like he's taking a step forward and a step forward, and then the big step forward. And now does it cement what Ben has been trying to tell him to do?
It reinforces that, and you can coach guys a lot harder when you're coming off a win. You know, I mean, it's fragile, particularly in the beginning of the season. You don't have a win under your belt as a head coach, as a team. You know what I mean? And you're trying to get, and you just got hammered, I mean, unmercifully by Detroit. So you're out there and you're trying to prove a lot of things in a lot of different categories as a new head coach. So when you get the win like they did, a convincing win, and you go out and your quarterback makes a big step forward and your offense makes big plays, it couldn't have fallen any better for Ben, really.
Wow, that's fascinating. You can coach harder coming off the win.
Absolutely.
So I wonder if he did. I wonder if watching film, he sees him like dirt that screen pass,
sure,
or miss stuff, and he's like, what the hell, man? Like, you can go off a little bit after a win.
Every position can, okay? Because the guys with, yeah, okay. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a different vibe getting on a guy when you got beat by 40 points as compared to winning by 40. You know, it's just, sure, it's different. You can coach him a lot harder.
We've been talking to all of our experts about that third quarter drive. As someone who has been a head coach, as someone who has been a defensive coordinator, 19 play drive.
Yeah,
what does that do to the defense when an offense is able to do that?
Because there were, 11 runs in there,
mm-hmm,
you know, when a team is getting run on, and I've been on both sides of this picture, it is demoralizing. It will take your will away, as Kirk Cignetti at Indiana said about the Illinois win.
He sure did say that.
It will take your will away because you could give up a big pass. And I guarantee you, everybody on that Cowboys defense is turning to those defensive backs and saying, are you kidding me? You know, you come running up to the line of scrimmage on that flea flicker. Well, you know, you're supposed to – you can – it's easy on a big pass play to pinpoint one guy, point the finger at one guy. But when you get the ball run at you like they did, play after play after play, it's all 11 guys. Nobody can hide. Everybody's involved. And it's tough. And on the other side, boy, when you're doing it, it's nothing better. I mean, that was right in my wheelhouse. In fact, I didn't look up what my longest drives were, but I know I gave it to Ricky 12 or 13 times, 10, 11, 12 times in a row himself, you know. I remember that game, you know.
What does DJ look like as a running back to you? What are his instincts looking like to you?
You know what? Ever since what happened to CD Lamb, now I'm saying – well, if you're going to put DJ in and you're going to throw him a screen or you're going to get him on the edge, but it's almost punishment. You're running between the tackles.
And
you
know? They're doing it.
You know, I mean.
In a real rotation, that drive we're talking about, he was the running. He never left the field. They're using the opportunity to stay in the same personnel and move him over to the running back. I get it. Yeah. That's fun and useful.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I mean,
it worries you.
Yeah, I'd like to. You know what? I'm partial to seeing a little bit more of my man Kyle Manungai, you know? So He didn't. He got a little bit of action, not much. And he learned a lot. Now he's probably in the doghouse. Hell, he run further backwards than he's run forward all year. So that doesn't help.
It does not help. That voice that you hear, that video that you see, is Dave Wannstedt. He's joining us here. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We're sitting in for Raheemy Harris and Grody because we're going to Circa Las Vegas. It's going to be great. We're going to have a bunch of shows out there. They're at Old Crow, so they're doing our shift, and they'll be on from 2 until 6. They're out at Old Crow in Wrigleyville, and you can sign up for special Budweiser prizes. I'm telling you, go to Old Crow and sign up because you might win something that's really, really cool that you could use very soon, I think. So do that. They will be on for us from 2 until 6. Coach, when you look at a player like Max Crosby for the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
what's the coaching point on trying to, it's hard to stop a player like that, but try to not let him wreck your game?
Well, you got to decide how you're going to help him. That's the first question. And you can do it a couple different ways. You could slide the protection all the way to him. So you're hoping for a double team on him if they're not blitzing, assuming they're not blitzing. You know, you could have a back chip him, or you could put a tight end in and basically double team him, you know. So I would think that would be probably the way they'll go, because Komet's a pretty good blocker at tight end, and they got plenty of receivers. If you're limited and you're tight end, you know, maybe on the other side of the coin, was his Bowers, the big tight end for Vegas. You know, he's their second leading receiver. He might be their best receiver. You know, him and Jacoby Myers. But so I don't. You wouldn't want him in there blocking. You know. Now the other thing that the Bears do, don't lose sight of this from the first game, and Ben did a lot of this. Extra linemen in the game. Remember, they had four or five plays
with Benedett out there to help
with
out.
Benedett out there playing like the extra tight end. So that may, the more I think about it, I just thought of that as we're talking, that might be their answer.
That's a great call. He did it a lot in Detroit with Dan Skipper.
Yep.
That would usually be the sixth dude.
And it could theoretically also be Trapillo.
It could be Trapillo. And we haven't heard about that in a practice or anything like that.
No, I mean because of Darnell Wright.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's the thing. Darnell Wright suddenly on the injury report with an elbow. That was a hand during the game, what we heard. Then it's an elbow and a DNP yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. We didn't get anything today yet.
Not yet.
But we're going to have a Bears report with Chris Emma at 1 o'clock.
So we'll get some news there. I wonder, if Darnell can't play for some reason, is it Trapillo or is it Benedett?
No, it's Benedett. It's coach. When I was up there, they were looking at him as the you know, competing for the starting job at the left tackle spot.
At left.
Yeah, so they got a lot of confidence in him. You know, and you could put Trapillo, you could put somebody in there as the extra blocker for half a dozen plays, you know. That's all you're talking about. You know?
That idea about Crosby and having the sixth lineman is a real good one because Ben's done it before. They also do a lot of 12 personnel. He does 13 personnel sometimes if Loveland's healthy and can go.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, the Durham Smythe got quite a bit of run. It's like he loves his tight ends.
Yeah. They had it was just 12. I'm thinking the flea flicker. Let me think. The tight end went. Smith went in motion and blocked. Komet moved to fullback and he blocked.
Yeah,
they just had two tight ends in on that. Yeah, because it was 14, and then what's his name? Burden caught the ball. Yeah.
Hey, how about on that flicker?
Yeah.
How about DeAndre Swift picking up the block,
coach,
after he flips it back?
Let me tell you about that play. My first game as the Bears head coach, we were playing the Giants here, and we lost to them 26-20, and Phil Sims threw a flea flicker. And they got one of our safeties. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter who. I'm just saying. And the key to that play, okay, and when we were at Dallas, we ran it with Emmett Smith. The key to the play, and everybody listen, this is football today. This is the lesson, is the running back. Emmett Smith used to like to take two steps because the running back's nervous as heck. He's pitching the ball. That's a natural thing for him to do. He's not. That's not what he does for a living. So the running backs are usually real nervous that they want to get that ball out of their hands and get it back to the quarterback. But the only way the play works is if you run that play. We used to tell the backs, you got to run it up into the line of scrimmage. And if you look at that play again, if our listeners pull that play out, DeAndre Swift almost runs into the center guard and the defensive lineman, and then he turns and pitches the ball. And if you watch the other side of the coin, the corner who was covering Burden, minute that he steps up into the line, he comes running to the line of scrimmage. The safety kind of freezes in the middle and steps forward, and it was a touchdown, you know, and Caleb made a great throw and he got the ball and all that stuff. But the point I'm making is you watch these flea flickers on TV. If the back and you say, why didn't that work? Usually most of the time, it's because the back pitches the ball back too soon. And DeAndre Swift, he's the guy that made that play go. Yeah, I mean, the route was good, fine, and the line blocked, you know, but and Caleb made the throw, okay? That's all great. But DeAndre Swift is the guy that made it happen.
That's awesome.
What are you going to draw up for us in the next segment? Have you
That's
thought
it.
About it?
That's it.
You going to draw it up?
Well, I just told you.
I know, but we want to see it.
Jeez.
We got to draw it up for the people on Twitch, Coach.
People are excited about
people
it.
People want to see
okay.
Alex.
All right.
Alex hasn't used his college education since last week of holding up the dry erase board.
I'll draw it right now. You guys take a break. I'll be back.
All right, so Coach is going to draw up that play. We're going to work through it and walk through it. So get yourself over to Twitch. twitch.tv/Chicago670 the score, and Coach is going to teach you some ball. He's going to illustrate it for you, and we'll get him some new headphones next here on the score.
Where's Mitch?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Coach is going to have his picks in a little bit. We always love that segment. Brought to you by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. It's going to be great. We always look forward to it. As a matter of fact, you should know that Dave Wannstedt and Chris Tannehill are going to be live at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan for the Four Winds football forecast on Sunday, October 12th.
Ooh. That's awesome. I love that Tanny gets a chance to go out there and do that stuff with
Coach. Oh, yeah. Tanny runs a show.
Of course he does.
And New Buffalo is great. And Four Winds, we love them being a partner here to us on the score. If you're joining us now, you're like, hey, what are you guys doing here? We're on because we're going to be broadcasting from Circa, so the midday show was nice enough to switch with us. They're going to be on from 2 until 6, and they're going to be at Old Crow in Wrigleyville, and there's an opportunity for you to sign up for some really cool prizes thanks to the folks at Budweiser. So get on over to Old Crow, or just listen. You can watch the show on Twitch. I saw Connor leaving out here with all the stuff that they need to get everything squared away and done over at Old Crow.
I thought Alex had a really good college education. He took history of Western civilization. He took art history, but his greatest performance might have been in dry erase board holding. Alex, why don't you hop on over there, and Alex Kuhn doing his work. His coach Wannstedt is going to draw something up for us. Make sure you're watching on Twitch. What do you got, Coach?
I talked about the flea flicker, and I'm just going to draw it up here real quick.
All right, okay. Move that microphone a little bit.
Well, what happens is,
Okay. You're good.
Right here. Okay, what happens is we want to make it look obviously like a running play. That's number one. So the offensive line is coming off in that direction real hard because Caleb's going to come back, and he's eventually going to actually hand the ball to our man Swift. Now, he's going to set the tight end, the second tight end in motion.
Going from right to left.
And he's coming over and block. Now watch, this is what they do. Cole Kmet had shifted from up on the line of scrimmage to the fullback position. And Cole, you know, tough, does it all. He's coming off, takes two steps.
To his right.
Like he's going to be the lead blocker for Swift. And then he peels back in this direction.
To the left.
And he's a blocker. Okay, so we got all kind of blockers over there. Now, once Swift gets the ball, okay, and our man Burton, he's coming off the ball like he's going to block this corner, this defensive back right there. On the other side, we got our man 14.
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus coming across.
From the right X position, he comes all the way across to the left side.
He's a safety valve. Okay, now. This is the key to the game. So we got plenty of guys blocking. If the running back takes two steps and Caleb is going to hand the ball off and he's going to just roll back here and he's just going to stand here. If the running back pitches the ball back now, everybody just assumes that it's a play action pass and everybody stays in their zones and there's no play. The key in, as I said, is that the running back's got to get all the way up in that offensive line. He's got to get these defenders right here coming after him. And that's exactly what he does. If you watch it, he almost bumps into the guard. And when the minute he does that, now this is what this defensive back did. He comes running up.
He came down and run support on that play.
The safety freezes right there. He doesn't get any depth. And the read on this, and then he's going to pitch the ball back to Caleb, and he's going to throw it. But Burton is the first read, and our man Zakai right here is the second read. So if this guy did not bite on it, and you work on it in practice, and you work on it both ways. You work on it where he doesn't fall for the flea flicker, okay, and he covers Burton. Now your guy that's going to be open is a shallow cross for about 15, 20 yards coming all the way across the field. So it's actually a two-read play for the quarterback, but the key that makes it go is the running back if he runs up in the line.
So if the – Alex, wait, hold it back up just for a second just to illustrate this. So Zacchaeus starts from the right side. He goes to the left on the crosser, okay?
Yep.
If the DB comes down and plays the run, then that opens things up for Burton to run past him.
Yep.
And that's what ended up happening. But if the DB stays true – And then you have Zacchaeus there on the left side for a read for Caleb to make.
The read is one, Burton. Is he open? If he's not, then I got a little two there for a reason, Leonard. That means that's the second read.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he's looking at.
I'll tell you, that's great stuff from Coach on
and
the dry race.
They're all covered, throw it away. And you know the other thing too, guys? Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
You know what? Guess what play? And there's only so much time in the NFL. I mean, they cut down how many, you know, reps and all that stuff. You know who's working on this play probably every day one time is the Raiders because they're getting ready for it. So the minute you run one of these plays, I used to like to run a fake punt early, even in the preseason. You know why? Because I says every week that other team is working on fake punt.
Just killing their practice time.
You're taking up reps. So, you know, we won't run this again, maybe for, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks, maybe not all season, but they'll be working on it every week.
You know what was cool about it also, Coach, is that Ben said that his assistants, whether it's Declan or whoever, came to him and said, we were watching what the Cowboys did, and this was the trick. From the whole bag of tricks, this is the one we think is going to work.
I really liked what that Ben gave the assistant coaches credit there for coming to them and saying, hey, they'll bite up. If on the run, they're getting everybody they can up here to stop the run, and we got a chance to get behind them. So that was a great design play, a good call. You know, and the thing about these trick plays You know, I always liked running, be the first one to run a trick play because I thought you could sometimes talk the other coach out of it. But, you know, every coach has them and you work on them, but you got to call it at the right time of a game, at the right area of the field, at the right down and distance, at the right momentum swing. All those things come into calling a trick play at the perfect time. And they did. And they did.
Coach, we love this segment. We're so, like, and the reaction from it on Twitch is amazing. And so I'm trying to, for those of you like, hey, why do you keep jumping in? Because I want to make sure that we take care of the people on the radio side,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a little bit of play-by-play to help out. But,
no, it was perfect.
Coach, you did a great job of illustrating that. And we love putting you in your element. We love putting you in a position where you can teach us stuff.
I've scored with that play on offense, and I've had it, obviously, I said, thrown against me and completed, too. So, you know, I've been on both sides, but I know what makes the damn thing go, you know?
What do you got to worry about with this Raiders team? If you're the Bears, what do you got to worry about?
We should be okay second. I mean, we should be able to get some pressure. They've already given up 12 sacks. Okay, and Geno Smith, can he scramble a little bit? Yeah, he's not an athlete like Caleb is, but I think he's playing very average. Okay, their offensive line is their weakness, and they're not running the ball. They got the best back in the draft, Ashton Gentry, the kid out of, help me out, Boise State. He's averaging 3 yards a carry. Okay, I mean, he's not doing any, he's been a non-factor. And as a team, they're averaging 4.9 yards a play. Now, what that tells me, what I'm throwing that out for our people, is what that means is when I would get the play-by-play after a game, I would look at it, and if we did not average run and pass together, not rushing or just passing, together, 5.3, I always said 5.5. 5.5, we're probably not going to win the game. I mean, we'll be very fortunate. Something crazy has to happen for us to win. And they're not even averaging 5 yards a play with their pass and their run combined. So they haven't been very productive on their offense at all. That's probably their weakness. And their, you know, their defense is okay. What did I say here about their defense? They're 19th in the league, but I just saw a note that I made. Okay, they got 7 sacks. They got 7 sacks on the year. I don't know. How many do we have? 6, something like that, maybe? 3 games, you know?
Look.
I think we got 6. Anyway, they're about where we had sacks, but they only have 1 interception. So they're not making a lot of negative plays with their defense. So, you know, this is a good matchup for us. I mean, we're a better football team. I can honestly say that we are a better football team, in my opinion now. Now, I don't know what Vegas or anybody else is saying, but in my opinion, we're a better team.
Ready to make some picks?
Sure, absolutely.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
It's time for the Four Winds Forecast with Dave Wannstedt.
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go.
Presented by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend.
Okay, let's start off with our man Jim Harbaugh. All right, I think he's 7-0 versus rookie quarterback. So I like the Chargers over the Giants. Green Bay is going to come out with vengeance. They got the
Cowboys.
They got the Cowboys. That's right.
It's the Micah Parsons revenge game.
And you know what? Who are they going to put in there in defense? Flus can drop what he wants. They just don't have players. And then, you know, the team that should have won last week, I'm taking New England to beat Carolina. New England fumbled that ball 5 times last week, and you only win by a touchdown. That's because of the turnovers, okay? And then here's my last pick. I'm on the Bears, guys. I am on the Bears to beat Vegas this week. That's it.
That was the Four Winds Forecast. Every week with Dave Wannstedt. Experience the excitement at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, and South Bend. With award-winning cuisine, the latest slots, a variety of table games, and luxurious hotels. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Coach, you talked to your old buddy, Matt Eberflus. He had kind of a rough day.
I did not, you know, and
he's having kind of a rough time down there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a bad combination, Spiegs. Let me tell you something.
Tell us.
When you can't rush the passer and you can't cover, that's a bad combination. Okay? One or the other. I've had teams where we've had one or the other, but thank God out. I've never had any that were both. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's tough.
Hey, I will tell you this about that game, though. I have two concerns. No, I know I've had a positive show. I don't want to say it. It's not negative. Two concerns.
Concerns are okay. Concernville is a lovely little place.
Positive.
Okay.
We got to keep grinding on that running game. All right. I'm not over. I mean, we're okay running the ball, but we got to shore up our run defense. Okay.
Averaged 7.5 yards a carry last week.
Coach, in three games, we're around 6 yards. And let me tell you something. If Tyreek Stevens doesn't get that ball out on that opening drive.
Oh, you betcha.
Coach, that might – I'd give him a – well, in the old days at Miami, he'd been well taken care of, okay?
Whoa. Okay. Statute of limitations is up. Yeah. What does he get?
No, coach.
Bag of cash?
Yeah, no, coach. Okay.
Expense account?
But let me tell you, that was a huge play, okay? That was a momentum-changing play. Now they're back doing it illegally. Are you kidding me?
Hot tub stacked with people? What does he get?
What do you think Mario Cristobal's doing? Please.
It's Miami. You can find a lot of fun down there in Coral Gables. It's a good time.
Number two in the country.
I like to have it in cash. Yeah. And I was tossing one of those gym bags you got.
Whatever it takes, Matt Nover.
Coach, you got some stuff that you got to do for the rest of the day?
Yeah, I got another hit. Now, the Cubs, I didn't realize what time the game was, so I'll have to watch that tonight. We got a little Thursday night football. Doesn't really excite me much. Don't think I'll watch much. I'll watch a little bit, you know, but I'm more into the Cubs now.
I just got to tell you.
Arizona. Who they play in Arizona and Seattle?
Seattle at Arizona tonight is the Thursday night game. Yes. Both teams with two wins, though.
Yeah, Seattle's playing really good defense. You know, and Kyler Murray, they're doing a nice job, at both teams, exactly.
Coach, whenever you finish the other hit that you got on the other show,
yeah,
it's going to be 5 o'clock somewhere.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be. In fact, I got to put – you just gave me – I got to get a hold of Terry. I got to get
some bourbon.
Coach, I got to get a little more bourbon.
You do. You deserve it, Coach.
Thanks for reminding me, Spigs.
That is Dave Wanstead. He's great. And now he's going to get on with the rest of his day. But we appreciate it. And for those of you who jumped into the Twitch audience for the first time, we really appreciate you trusting that it would be beneficial. And you saw that it's good. And when we can learn stuff together, it's really, really awesome. So thanks for trusting us to do that. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll have a little bit of fun. Leonardo DiCaprio has apparently figured out life, and we are going to learn some lessons from him next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
Is that 70,000 football fans in the Southern California market who want to put a Ram jersey on and go to a ball game? Really? On a beautiful Sunday afternoon in a beautiful stadium? Really? That's atrocious. I don't care what sort of sport. I mean, you know, they're not in Racine, Wisconsin. I mean, it is Los Angeles. My God. And then the fans they do bring into the joint. You know, but you think DiCaprio's a football fan? I've never seen Leonard DiCaprio at a sporting event all my life. And now he's at the Ram game yesterday sitting in a suite.
Leonard.
Is that the Leonard that Coach was talking to? I think I was the Leonard that he was talking to.
Leonard.
My favorite thing is when we would do NBC together, when we do football night, he would just be coming off of doing his conversations with Charles Davis, and so I would instantly become Charles. Charles, Leonard, Lawrence.
Yeah. Coach, That's why he just goes with coach.
That's why a lot of coaches just go with coach.
Yeah, man, it's just easier. So Leonardo DiCaprio in the news, and by in the news, I mean in Tanny's algorithm. And and that stands for news for us. We trust that man's ears. And he says we got to hear this, because I think Leonardo DiCaprio, in Tanny's mind, has sports fandom all figured out. They were on the New Heights podcast with the Kelce brothers, Leonardo DiCaprio and his buddy Benicio Del Toro. That sounds like a good hang. This is Leo on his sports allegiances.
Leo, once and for all, we got to know, who's your team? Who are we rooting for? We got all these pictures.
We got all the
multiple sports. Like, is there a specific one we're going for?
You know, it's funny. Absolutely not. No, I got no team.
No loyalty.
No loyalty to anything. I'm a Lakers fan. That's okay. Absolutely what I could say. But all the right. Hats always just were like, oh, well, that's a cool symbol. That's a dope hat. And I just started doing that my whole life. I don't know. Different college teams, different football teams, different not a lot of different basketball teams.
Yeah. I don't know. What's your favorite you're going with, you think?
I don't know. I like the KC one. I like the Raiders hat. I like the Raiders hat back in the day, but now I just wear LA.
So he's just a fan of hats and sports.
Yeah, he likes sports, and he doesn't feel an allegiance to anyone other than
the Lakers. Okay.
I get that, but for us, it's obviously different. We do this for a living, so that's part of it. And so you try and find stuff. Like, look at you. Like, you're feeding your love for sports and other stuff without fandom for the Bananas.
Yeah, I've got a Savannah Bananas t-shirt on.
But I have to tell you, like, when I went on my baseball walkabout, I got courted by a lot of different fan bases. Lawrence, come be a Cub fan. I can't do that. Like, I just can't do that. Come be a Red Sox fan. Never going to happen. None of the teams in the AL East. Like, forget about that. But I got a gift from someone that's one of the dopest caps ever, and it would have gone perfectly today. The Arizona Diamondbacks black and gold Serpientos cap. And I'm like, I don't feel quite right wearing it.
Yeah, but it's because it still represents a legitimacy that Leo is divorced from.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever been divorced, but he's divorced from legitimacy.
I did put on a White Sox cap this year. I took my favorite White Sox cap this year to Kansas City. And strangely enough, and it actually will give you an opportunity to win something, it's the same cap that Ice Cube wore in Barbershop 2. It's gray and black with a white outline on the SOX.
What's a lyric he might have said at that point?
Well, now we don't even have to do a lyric.
Okay.
We can just tell people, if they're caller 6 right now, to 312-540-0670, that they can win a pair of tickets to see Ice Cube's Truth to Power tour, 4 Decades of Attitude. That's Monday, October 6, 2025. At the United Center. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com if you don't win. But you can call right now and be caller 6 and you can win.
DiCaprio and Benicio talked about the greatest sports moments they have ever seen live.
Is there a greatest sporting event you guys have ever seen in person? A favorite sporting event?
Kobe, Shaq, Trailblazers, The Lob. I think that was to win the Western Conference Finals.
God, that is an unbelievable.
And then I got to be there for Michael Jordan's last shot in Utah Jazz. Ooh. That one, whew. That was incredible.
Those are two bangers, man.
We had Shaq on, and he said that was his favorite dunk of all time. I mean, that is...
The whole stadium just shot up into the air. I remember that. That was an incredible moment, man.
Did he show anything from you?
You know, I'm thinking, I did go to, I think it was 1980, and it was the Sixers versus the Lakers, and it was Magic Johnson was the finals. I think it was game 4. It's the famous game that Dr. J does that shot.
No way.
The scoop?
The scoop.
You saw that live?
I was live.
No! Whoa!
I was sitting up there, yes.
That's another...
Oh, yes, man, you guys have seen some epic games.
Yeah, he scoops it under.
Yeah, wow. Kareem is right there just watching it.
Oh, that is hell.
So I ask you, so what's better, having one team and just sitting on your couch and hating them every day, or
the way that they're living?
Yeah, the
way that they're living seems like it's a good call.
Leo just said he saw Shaq, Kobe to Shaq for a lob, and Jordan's last shot over Brian Russell, and then Benicio Del Toro topped it. He topped it.
I think he did.
He topped it with the Jordan wraparound reverse.
No, Julius Erving.
Yeah, yeah. The Julius Erving wraparound reverse against the Lakers in the finals.
That talk about epic. I also love that Benicio just kind of stayed in the cut on that one.
Yeah.
And then when they asked, he was like, oh, yeah, I got something for you. How about that?
It's like when.
How about one of the more iconic moments in NBA history?
My buddy,
how about that?
My buddy Doug Meyer, we're sitting at Wrigley, and I'm like, oh, you've been here for years. Tell me some of your favorite games. He's telling me all these different Cub games, and he's like, oh, yeah. And I was also here when Gale Sayers scored 6 touchdowns for the Bears. I'm like, how do you not lead with that?
You know what's funny? At some point on our afternoon show, let's do that.
Best game?
Let's start putting together our list. Because we've been to a lot of stuff, and for us it's work, right? So it might not even register for us in some of those moments. Like I think about all the Blackhawks games I was at.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You stole a marsh peg.
I got a pretty good list.
I'm
a lucky MF-er. Let's do that on the afternoon show one day.
Yeah, we'll pick a day and then we'll just kind of go through a list of things that we've done or covered. Because like some of those moments, you go, I can't believe I was there that.
I was there for 17 seconds, like you're saying. I mean, that's crazy to think about.
Everybody, you weren't down there, I was.
I was there, KMA.
That's what we'll call it. You weren't down there, I was.
And, thinking about, just how sports has changed. It's hard to even believe, but back in the day, with the last 5 minutes of a football game, they would bring us down to the field when I was still covering the team.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's insane. It's insane. We'll do that. We usually host 2 to 6, by the way. You should go out to Old Crow. I have just been allowed to not talk around it anymore. We are going to have tickets for game one of the playoffs that you can sign yourself up for at Old Crow. And that's thanks to the folks over at Budweiser.
As long as that game is at Wrigley, which is the plan. That's
correct.
The caveat.
Correct. Wild card tickets, they're going to be at our remote, so you have to sign up, but only if the game is at Wrigley, which is how it's trending. We're going to go to Halas Hall. Chris Emma is there with a Bears report. 2 words next on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.